the moon. The horizon is on fire, democracy rising. Bounced on a wire, liberation. You can smell it in the air, things are moving. And the rich are all aware. Some will talk along the sidelines, others they will do. Sing a song for Chavez before the coup.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Virginia Lopez, a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom. Welcome to Background Briefing, Virginia Lopez.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Very well. And you've covering the last few days of the final rallies in the election that takes place on Sunday for president of Venezuela. If Hugo Chavez wins, that'll mean he'll have another 6 years. And if he stays alive throughout that period, he will end up having served for 20 consecutive years. And then he's being challenged by a 40-year-old lawyer and former state governor, Enrique Capriles. Give us a sense of how close it is, because the polls are all over the place on this.
Yes, it's hard to give an exact answer on that because, like you say, the polls give anything from a 10-point lead for Chavez to a 3 or 4-point lead for Capriles. So it really does seem that it's going to be like a picture finale.
Photo finish, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, photo finish. I'm sorry.
Like a horse race
on Sunday. Yeah. Yeah, I don't dare to give you a prediction, which is strange because in the past, people here generally tend to know who the winner is going to be.
So how would you characterize this campaign so far? There have been a couple of deaths, a couple of Capriles' supporters were shot. But given how much violence there is in Venezuela, relatively speaking, that doesn't sound like it's been particularly violent.
Violence in Venezuela is usually crime-related, but Venezuela has never really been known for too many incidents of political violence, except, these sort of punctual failed attempts at a coup. So having these three leaders for the opposition camp killed on Sunday did come as a sort of quite dramatic turn in the campaign. Previous to that, there had been some attacks among the two opposing camps, but no deaths. For me, the Sunday incident that did escalate things a bit more than what we've been used to in 50 years of democracy.
So how has that affected the race? Has that given people pause? Because obviously it was Chavez's supporters who shot the three Capriles campaign workers. Has it helped Capriles?
It hasn't really affected the preference for either candidate at this point, but it did contribute to sort of an underlying feeling or tension that maybe one of the camps might not recognize the results and that there might be an episode of violence ensuing shortly after, which of course would be unfortunate and nobody's really planning for it, but there are growing rumors or growing concerns.
Well, Virginia Lopez, again, I'm speaking to Virginia Lopez in Caracas, Venezuela, where she's a journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom and the BBC. And we're talking about Sunday's presidential elections and some of the violence that has happened in advance of this election. Now, when you talk about violence after the results come in, at least the counting of the votes is pretty straightforward, isn't it? It's not like here in the United States where we have an election where millions of potential Democratic voters are being purged from lists by all kinds of political chicanery on the part of the Republicans and Karl Rove. The Venezuelan vote, first of all, it's on a Sunday, which in most civilized countries vote on the weekends. And furthermore, isn't the Election Commission fairly nonpartisan or fairly tamper-proof?
The process of voting itself is pretty sort of bulletproof, to put it in those terms, and it's completely mechanized. There have been some issues about having a thumbprint scanner intimidate voters, because it would mean that the secrecy of their vote is undermined. But most of the claims are coming from the fact that the members of the CNE have at times been linked to political parties. This is a claim made by the opposition. Of course, the CNE members, you know, don't necessarily see themselves aligned to any party. There's also been criticisms from the opposition camp that the CNE doesn't, or the National Council for Electorate, or CNE in Spanish, hasn't regulated things like campaign time on TV, so that the government or the state has had more time on air than the opposition is allowed. So in that sense, you know, the electoral process itself seems a bit disproportionate, but not the voting day itself.
Well, my understanding is that in Venezuela, the politics are incredibly polarized because of the state television is entirely controlled by Hugo Chavez, in the way that Pravda was controlled by the Politburo in Soviet Russia, and that conversely on that the independent press have been incredibly highly partisan against Chavez. Now, he's managed to close some of them down. So give us a sense of the press landscape, because to some extent we're used to this is a new phenomenon here in the United States with Fox News and MSNBC, where you have partisan cable television. But how does it translate in Venezuela? Who's got the upper hand in press exposure?
It's probably as polarized as society itself. It does seem that a lot of the private media is pro-opposition, and a lot of the state-run media is pro-government. So, I mean, in a sense, what you see here is that the boundaries between the state and the government are completely blurred. And you have state institutions being run for pro-government aims. Jimmy Carter had an interesting comment on it, sort of comparing Venezuelan campaigning to the U.S. campaign, and saying, you know, he said something along the lines that the Obama campaign had been characterized by heavy private funding, and that Venezuela was almost a mirror image in that the campaign had been, or the government or the incumbent's campaign had been heavily funded by the state. So, you know, I thought that was an interesting comparison of sort of what seemed to be, like I said, mirror images of a similar trend, according to Jimmy Carter.
So does anybody know about Chavez's health, assuming that the polls are right and he's between, I think, 10 and 5% ahead, and the polls by law close on September the 30th, do they not? So there are no recent polls since September the 30th. But assuming he wins, does anybody know how long he will survive in office?
Nope, nobody knows. There's been no disclosure of official medical records. He looks strong in his campaign. It hasn't been the same Chavez that we're used to in previous campaigns, where he was doing these marathon nationwide campaigns. But, you know, today was the closure of his campaign, and it was raining, and you could sort of see him jumping on stage and being very energetic. But of course, you know, it's almost silly to try and predict somebody's health for what you could see on TV. And I can't think of any other country where a president wouldn't be forced to disclose his medical records after having been treated for cancer 3 times.
So his big finale will be in front of the presidential palace, I take it. That's going to be the last big rally. Will that be on Saturday or Sunday?
No, it's taking place as we speak.
Oh, actually. Today it is.
And I was there this morning, and it was massive. People were coming from all over the country, and about 7 of the main avenues of Caracas downtown packed with his supporters. It's a very impressive turnout.
And Mr. Capriles, he's chosen a stronghold of President Chavez, Barquisimeto. Tell me about why he's doing that.
Capriles had a campaign closure on Sunday here in the city in Caracas, and that too was very impressive. And the turnout was incredible. Again, you know, it's impossible to compare the two because one is an incumbent that has a access to a great machinery. Capriles himself has described the race as sort of David and Goliath kind of campaign. And Barquisimeto is like you said, it's a strong, it's a capital of a state with strong charter support. He's been doing a really strong, robust campaign. He's been touring the whole country. He started with what he called the house by house, visiting one house at a time, and then scaled up to town by town, going basically all across the country from small town to small town, and then ending on a city-by-city approach. The one that I went to was in Coro, which is a state capital, or a capital with a state refining facilities, where there had just been a refining accident. And again, you know, the upturn was gigantic, but it's just really difficult to compare. The day after that, I was at Chavez's rally in Cabimas, and it was equally as impressive. It's just really difficult to compare, like I said.
Again, I'm speaking with Virginia Lopez, who is a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom. Now, we have in this election here between Mitt Romney and the incumbent President Obama what's often referred to as the enthusiasm gap, that the supporters of Obama who voted for Hope and Change in 2008, a lot of them are disappointed and may not show up to vote. And conversely, there's a lot of enthusiasm on the Romney side with his core supporters, many of whom are consumed by an irrational hatred of Obama. So is there an enthusiasm gap in Venezuela, in as much as Chavez's supporters apparently are very enthusiastic about him and very passionate, whereas Capriles' supporters aren't that passionate because he's not a charismatic character like Chavez is?
Actually, that's changed dramatically, and it's been quite interesting. Capriles has just grown during his campaign, and he went from sort of being, you know, giving very sort of short answers to questions to now engaging his audience. He's made a point of never offending President Chavez, and almost moving away from this sort of incendiary rhetoric that Venezuelans have become accustomed to in the last 14 years under Chavez. So it's a very refreshing change. I think it taught Venezuelans from both bands that politics doesn't necessarily need to be a matter of hating your opponent. He's youthful, and that's also very refreshing. And like I said, he's been, you know, running around the country very vigorously. His supporters, you know, it was when I went out on the campaign trail with him, it was sort of being like in a rock star concert. With Chavez, it's a bit of this sort of miracle work type thing, and his supporters sort of turn to him almost sort of as a deity that is capable of having miracles come true. Again, he's been in power for 14 years. He's seen the price of oil go from $9 to 100, which has been the largest windfall the country's experienced in its history. And he's used that money to a great extent to give what some consider social programs and what others think are, you know, cash handouts. So depending on what side of the political spectrum you sit, is basically how you see Chavez. But they're both, you know, awakened passions among their voters. It's going to be it's the tightest race we've seen since Chavez first came to power in 1998. And I think the tendency, even after the elections, is for Capriles to gain more and more momentum, regardless of what the final outcome is. There's going to be elections for governors in December. So again, the opposition could see itself strengthened, even if they didn't win in the presidential race.
In terms of the exile community of Venezuelans living here in the United States, there have been some stories about how they can't vote in Miami because the Chavez regime has always been hostile towards the Miami diaspora because it links them with the ancient regime, the coup plotters, etc. And, of course, there was a espionage charge brought against the consul general there. I think she was kicked out of the country. So people in Miami, the Venezuelan community there, in order for them to vote, they have to go to New Orleans. Is that a story that's being reported much in Venezuela?
Yes. It's gotten plenty of attention. There's a large population of Venezuelans that have moved to Miami during Chavez. Partly because crime is such an issue for many of them, and partly, maybe searching new opportunities. But yes, they're expected to go and drive whatever long it takes to go to New Orleans to vote there.
So they'd have to be pretty dedicated to vote to go all that way. But I guess they're going to do it, right?
There's a lot of people coming from different parts of the world back to Venezuela this weekend just so they can vote. I know it sounds a bit extreme, but yeah, it's been 14 years. I think it seems like people want to change.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us, Virginia Lopez.
Of course, thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Virginia Lopez, who's a Caracas-based journalist who covers Latin America and Venezuela for The Guardian of the United Kingdom. We're going to take a brief station break. We're back talking about the other Gilded Age, not the one that we're in now.